Good afternoon. You're listening to KMXT's Talk of the Rock for this Tuesday, the 31st day of March. What a very interesting, challenging 3 months we've had, and who knows what we're going to have the rest of the 9 months. But we have two guests with us, Mike Twenge, who's the city manager, and Jim Mulliken, who's the fire chief. And so like we always do, I always start on my left. Got to have a little system here so I don't get confused. And so we're going to start on my left, as always, and ask Mike to introduce himself.
Hello, Maggie. This is Mike Twenge. I am the city manager, and I'm also the emergency services director.
Which means?
I am responsible at the Emergency Operations Center for activities that we conduct.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to go more, which means some of these things, I guess people don't understand what all this is.
Sure.
You and I and the chief here, we talk about this stuff a lot, so we kind of have a grasp of it. What does the Emergency Operations Center and what is it you're doing right now?
So we have an Emergency Services Council called the ESC. That is a policy-making group consisting of the city mayor, the borough mayor, both the borough and city managers, representatives from the Coast Guard, and representatives from the Alaska State Troopers. And they're the policy group that when we bring big ideas to them, they help support that. The Emergency Operations Center, which is what is active right now, right now we're consisting of about between 12 and 15 volunteers working in the EOC. This is our day 15. And what we do is we work out the logistics and the safety and the planning sections and to provide the services that are requested out in the public.
Got it. And so you guys all kind of work as a group to figure this all out. Kind of like where we're going. And
that's our job, to not only figure it out, but to anticipate.
Anticipate. That's a good point, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to anticipate, learn from other people, other countries, other places that have had problems, initiate some of the things that they found worked, like hunkering down, and then that way we won't have as much of a problem, we hope.
That's right. So each week we set our list of objectives, and then we follow up with our accomplishments throughout that objective week. So here we are on another week of objectives.
So let's go to the fire chief. Hi.
Hi, Maggie. Jim Mulliken, the fire chief. I'm also the emergency services coordinator. So basically, I work for Mike, and my job is to coordinate the emergency operations staff that's in the EOC, as well as with other partnering agencies in response to large-scale emergencies. So in this case, it's with the COVID-19 response.
Now, we've talked, both all of us here have talked before about tsunamis, and I think most people get, we're all mentally, you know, we're kind of there with tsunamis, right? We've been through the drills. Somebody once explained to me, it's kind of like it's in our blood, because we have this collective consciousness memory of 1964, even if we weren't here, because we've heard the stories. We've talked with people who were here. And so I think of that. And so this is kind of like that, in that there's, instead of all short-term making decisions in 5 seconds or, you know, whatever we're doing, this is more like a long-term, how we're going to deal with this and hopefully prepare for it if it hits, but just like a tsunami, hope it doesn't hit. Is that kind of a fair explanation of
this is a silent,
for somebody who doesn't really understand this?
This is more silent. We don't have sirens going off. We have lessons to be learned from the rest of the lower 48 and what's happening in Alaska. We're trying to protect our community from the COVID-19 virus, of course. I think what people have been doing as a preparatory and social distancing is effective. You know, the governor put in a mandate beginning Friday night that requires automatic 14-day quarantine or self-isolation for any travel within this state or from outside the state. So I think after this 14 days is over, we're going to see a little better demographic on where the virus is in the state and see how it's affecting our hunkering down. I hope the curve is going to start going downhill,
but we
instead
haven't,
of uphill.
We haven't had it here that long yet, have we? That's only been a couple of weeks.
Right. We've had a hunker down, but now airline travel is being restricted to the fact that if you do travel, you have to go immediately to a resident location and isolate there for 14 days. So with that mandate, we hope to see the curve drop instead of continue to climb like we see every day right now.
So the actually, I just read it, but I can't remember. The travel is if you travel anywhere within the state or if you're coming in from somewhere else.
Correct.
I guess that was a question, but it's both, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's both. So, for instance, right now the mandate, as we read it, is you fly from Anchorage to Kodiak, and you need to quarantine.
For 14 days?
For 14 days.
And so what about...
Unless you're an essential service, which there's an exception for some of those, what the governor calls critical services.
Right, and that was that big, long list that was in the thing that you guys issued last week, was it? And we posted it online, so it's available online any number of places. And then you guys also have a Facebook page.
Correct. Our public information office has a fantastic Facebook page. There's three manning that section right now. They are answering the phone calls. They have an email address that they're answering questions at. And if I could give that number, Meg, right now.
Sure, that'd be great.
So we appreciate it if there's questions that come to the EOC. They go through the public information office. The PIO phone number is 486-8970, 486-8970, and the email address is pio@city.kodiak.ak.us, pio@city.kodiak.ak.us.
Okay, pio@city.kodiak.ak.us.
That's correct.
That's mostly... all the city ones end up the same, so you're looking for PIO at.
Yeah.
And then, just like the others, 486-8970.
Correct.
And so I said something on the air the other day. I said, stop these rumors, because we were spending a lot of time here trying to chase down rumors. Is this true? Is this not? If people are hearing them and it's being spread, I feel like it's our responsibility to try to stop them, and here's the facts, or here's what might be confusing, but here's the real deal. You guys must have that same thing, all the rumors and this and that. So if you hear, tell me if this is correct. If I heard a rumor or somebody on the street heard a rumor, they could call that number and say, is this true? And somebody would say yes or no?
That's correct, yeah. They're on top of what we're doing in the EOC. They're part of the EOC, so they have up-to-minute information. And if not, they will get back to you.
And also on Facebook. And it's got a different name on Facebook. I don't remember what it is. But I Googled it up. I just, when you go to Facebook, you can search and then just put Emergency Operations Center, City of Kodiak. And something like that will come up. And they could also ask questions on Facebook and they would respond back. I'm guessing because they're there and they're posting on Facebook. Okay, so
we're monitoring Facebook too.
Monitoring it too, yeah. So where are we at right now? We have had no confirmed cases. Have we had many tests? Last I heard was last week there had been one and it came back negative.
Yeah, so they're testing, and as of yesterday, I think the number was just over 20 still, 22 maybe it was. So far, all sampling and tests have come back negative for Kodiak, which I'm so glad to hear. I think I'm not the only one in this community. We have some outstanding right now, but they'll be coming back shortly, and we're hoping they're all negative.
When you say shortly, we're talking a couple of days?
Yeah, next few days, yeah.
Yeah, and you'll let us know as soon as you know and can let us know. So that's 20 to 22 tests. That's not very many tests. That's the problem, isn't it? That we don't have very many tests to test people with.
So I'll let Jim speak more to this, but the referrals go through the healthcare providers, and they're determining whether you're really qualified for a test or needing a test. And that's why we're doing about 2 a day locally. So the number is small, you might say, but because they don't see that number of potential COVID patients, fortunately, that's why the number's low. They're only sampling Monday through Friday as well. So that's why the number hasn't changed much since Friday. We had two on Monday. Today's only Tuesday.
Yeah, and it's not even April yet. Okay, so Jim, fire chief.
Well, the thing that the citizens, everybody needs to understand is the testing, the low numbers in testing actually is can be looked at as a good thing, because if they're not seeing cases that the healthcare providers are pushing to be sampled, that means they're not seeing a lot of people that potentially have this. So, you know, you can look at it and say, well, that's a good thing. You know, if those tests really start going up, then we're starting to see a lot more people with potential cases here. So there is a silver lining in that. But everyone needs to understand is that there is a process for it. The healthcare providers are making those decisions, and then the sampling site is there to get tested, and then off the stuff goes for going off island to the labs to be completed. So that process is in place. We've had it in place for over a week. Set that up, almost a week and a half ago, actually, I think.
Thinking of the tents?
Of the tents and stuff, yep. So that's been going for a while. Plus, some of the facilities are still doing their own sampling inside their facilities. So that stuff is still working through. Dedicated healthcare providers are out there. They're working hard on this to make sure their patients receive the care that they need and the direction they need. So absolute kudos out to all of our healthcare providers. They're the troops on the front line with this. And really, they've been fantastic so far.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the tent there at East Elementary. I went out there and took some pictures the other day. I guess it's been more than a week ago now. It's by, I don't want to say prescription only, but is that where they're taking, that's where they're drawing the blood?
That's where the sampling is taking place. Again, people have to go through their healthcare providers. So that we're not doing broad-based testing. That's not happening right now because of just trying to narrow it down to the people that need it, because there is a limitation on national supplies on some of this stuff. So they're going for people who directly, okay, this person meets this criteria. And that's determined by the healthcare providers. Then they're put into the system. They show up to that sampling tent. Fantastic staff out there that's working their best to get the samples taken care of. They get shipped off island the same day, as weather provided, and get them out to the sites to be the testing to be completed. And then the information is fed back to the healthcare providers so they can properly come up with a treatment plan for whatever patient it is.
Got it. Now, you and Chief Rowe, is it Rowe?
Rue,
like street, not Rowe, like salmon. Rowe, or Herring Rowe, Rue, Chief Rowe, you guys have been fire emergency people for what, 30, 40 years each.
Long time.
So though you've never dealt with something like the coronavirus specifically, you have dealt with other things in bigger cities and other places, haven't you?
Well, my fire service has all been here on Kodiak. Chief Rue's been elsewhere in the country. But we've dealt with, you know, my department, we've run the ambulance service. So we've dealt and have dealt with highly infectious disease patients that we've moved. And we have all of our protocols in place. We've changed a few things to meet some extra needs with this one. But outside of that, and we have transported two potential patients to date that have gone through the process. And so my department is awaiting the call, ready to respond. And so is Chief Rue. He's working with his people. His people support my medics when they go outside the city limits towards Bayside. Chief Conrad and his people out there at Woman's Bay, and then Chief Sinclair there on the Coast Guard base. So we have excellent first responders out in these districts that are there to support the people as well as my medics when we show up to deal with these things.
Is it scary?
I would say it's a little daunting because, let's face it, nobody anywhere has been around for something of this magnitude. You know, we're talking about a worldwide pandemic. And you can wake up in the morning, and I'm sure people out there are doing, they wake up and they get that shiver down their spine. It's like, oh my gosh, what is happening? That's where we all really need to take a deep breath, really look at what's happening, what we can do to protect ourselves and our families, and move from there. And quite a few of the steps are very simple. The social distancing, that cannot be overemphasized. The washing your hands multiple times during the day, not touching your face. You know, if you're sick, stay home. These seem like pretty innocuous steps themselves, but that's what's going to stop this. The areas that have had difficulty with it, I mean, you look at the spring breakers in Miami, they were still all piling up on the beaches, and then people are taking it home with them, and we're seeing that demographics take place across the country. So, you know, the travel restrictions and stuff are reflecting the government's response to say, okay, if people can't do it on their own, they're going to start layering these things on. So, you know, here on Kodiak, even going to the grocery store, you know, respect your fellow people in this grocery store. Francis, our PIO, Del Fuentes, put together an awesome cart-to-part thing on the Facebook page. And it truly is. If you maintain that distancing, even in the grocery store, that will make a difference. It'll help stop this. And if we stop it early, that's why we put in our hunker down early and started layering these things on, because we don't want to wait till it gets here, because then it's too late. We need to be ahead of the curve with this.
Speaking of the curve, we want to flatten the curve. What does that mean?
What that means is that there is limited healthcare capability, and that's throughout the country, not just here on Kodiak. Although we are a remote community, we do have further limitations. The idea behind it is that we want to keep the numbers of people needing care below our maximum number. That means we can meet each of those patients' needs to the highest availability of specialists, nursing staff, doctors, equipment, so forth and so on. If it gets above that, then we have to make some significant decisions on how are we going to meet that need.
The other places around the country, do they get online, and is this like a fire chief association or city manager association where you kind of share stories back and forth? How do you know what other people are doing besides reading them in the newspaper or watching
online? From my perspective, I have I'm part of the Fire Chiefs Association for the state. We're having periodic telephonic meetings to, you know, what are each of the departments doing? What are their needs? What are they finding that works? What doesn't work? That kind of thing. We also receive updates through public health. So our public health partners are, you know, we have the mandates and stuff from like Dr. Ann Zink, mm-hmm. but we also have updates coming from them to what's happening in the state, state of supply, stuff of that nature. So we're getting a lot of feed from those. So we're not just in a fishbowl trying to figure out. So we're getting a lot of information. Our partners, we're getting information from Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center, because they're part of the hospital side of the house. Public health is bringing information in. So we're getting additional stuff put in. And as we're layering on our response, what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, we're doing this with information given us to it by others.
Got it. And you were going to say something there, Mike?
Yeah, Maggie. The Alaska Municipal League, where mm-hmm. the city's a partner in that, a member, I should say, they're sharing information of what other communities are doing to respond to the COVID-19. And some of us that have personal contacts with other city managers, we talk offline, you might say, on that. That's how I learned about Ketchikan long ago, before their first case. So we're learning from other communities. We're implementing those procedures the best we can as we prepare our community for any outbreak. Right now, we're so proud of what everyone's doing. Like Jim said, some of these measures are very simple, and they sound like, okay, I'm tired of hearing that, washing your hands. There's studies out there that say it breaks down the protein on the virus by washing your hands with soap and warm water. Distancing is a very valuable tool because it doesn't spread beyond a certain distance. And so people should be cognizant of that when they're shopping. And I just want to emphasize what the chief said just a minute ago was the grocery stores are still being stocked with all their supplies. Some items may be a little short in supply, just like anywhere else in the United States, but our stores are robust. We've been talking with our store managers, and all the shipments are still coming to town. I can't emphasize that enough. There's no need to be rushing. We could be social distancing in the store, and those products will still be there. Like I said, there's a couple items that are occasionally short, but they're still coming in weekly, so that's important.
Okay, here's a rumor, speaking of in the store. Somebody said that there was a fight, that there have been fights in the store. You, Mike, you deal with the police department. You would know if that was true.
Yeah. So there's just been a few of those misunderstandings out there, but not vast. I think they're minor, and most people are respecting others, but there has been a couple altercations in the store. But I'm assuring people that it's not widespread at all.
Do you find that, see, because I've been mostly social distancing. I live out in the flats, and okay, I social distance even when this wasn't going on because I can be a hermit at times. But I don't like have the pulse on the community. You don't see as many people out. We're not doing as much. Do you get a sense, probably, Mike, you hear it a lot, are people getting edgy? Are they getting nervous? Are they getting short-tempered? You know, at some point we have to go into another phase where we deal with how to deal with people's anxieties or their stress or their depression, because everything is so changing right now.
Right. Anytime you disrupt the typical flow of the population, there's going to be some anxiety. But Kodiak is resilient, and we're working through this. I see a lot more people out jogging and walking. I kind of chuckled last week. I washed my truck, and I saw other people, because, you know, you tend to notice what you're doing, other people are doing. I saw other people washing their vehicles. It was a beautiful sunny day. So people are just getting out, and I've heard a lot of stories about home projects that are getting accomplished right now. So we're filling in the gaps. And at some point, I would like to speak about what the community is doing to help the community, too.
That would be great. Let's do that right now.
Okay. So the Kodiak Community Support Team is made up of, the last count was 88 volunteers. They are offering assistance to the community residents needing any assistance, whether it be shopping, delivery of goods, or transportation, or any other request beyond that. They have a phone number, the Kodiak Community Support Team, so you can call them and ask for, I think the sky's the limit right now, ask them what they can help provide for you.
Now, they just started this last week, didn't they?
Yeah, we stood them up utilizing Dave Davis down at the Salvation Army. And we were looking forward into, as people get sequestered in their homes, or, you know, especially our elders who, you know, are worried about this, and they should be, that how do they get groceries and stuff like that? So Major Dave took over and has set this up with a lot of help from Pastor Larry and many others that have stood this whole system up. And at first, I want to put a kudos out to them. They've been doing a fantastic job. The services they offer right now are pickup of groceries, prescriptions. They also have some healthcare or mental health care professionals and pastors and faith-based people to help people, you know, if they need to talk to somebody. So the very thing you were talking about, you know, the longer they're home, the more cabin fever kind of stuff can set in, and they need to talk to somebody. Here's a number right off the bat that they can reach out to. So I'll give that number right off, since we're talking about it. It's 907-486-7656.
It was an 888 number
last week. The 888 number they have, but they apparently they're having difficulty here on Kodiak or whatnot, so they really wanted me to push that 907 number.
I think the 888 confused people because we had people call and ask, is that out of town? No, it was just a local number.
Right. And these people, it's an awesome group of volunteers that have stepped up and are really helping deal with this side of the house. So it really helps us in the Emergency Operations Center, because when we get that call, I don't want to leave my home and I need assistance. Here's a group that is already, we've got stood up, they're operating and can meet that need. You know, if people need assistance with groceries, there's the food bank. That's where Major Dave is running that, is in conjunction with this, as well as getting runners to be able to go get the groceries, take them home, people to talk to. There's a lot of assistance there, and we really want to reach out and encourage our citizens out there that here is a number, here's a group that's there to serve and help you.
Could we read that number again?
Yeah, it's 907-486-7656. Lots of sixes. 486-7656. And why I mentioned that it just started was because you've got 88 volunteers already.
Right. People are willing to help in this community, and it's for everyone here. So lots of friends and family that need help, and they're willing to share that.
Okay, and so what are some of the other things that are going on in town?
Well, you know, we're organizing the healthcare community. We have an alternate care facility set up. We have...
Where is that?
We're working with our partners right now to sign the documents to put it into being. We're looking at utilizing one of the educational facilities.
Got it.
In conjunction with the Kodiak Island Borough School District and the Kodiak Island Borough. They're valuable partners in this response, as well as Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center that's going to oversee it so that we have the ability to meet the need if we run into that large group that could potentially overwhelm Providence. So right. We're looking down, like Mike said, we need to look into the future and have things already in place so if we get to that point, we have the ability to meet it.
And that's, I think, one of the benefits that we have here looking at this is that it's taking a long time to get to Alaska, partly, I guess, because we're so isolated. And so we've had a chance to see what other people are doing, what's worked for them. They've all got, you know, gymnasiums or wherever. I saw some convention centers and other things online where they've set up these mobile hospitals.
Right, and we're right in line with that. We're working down through that process. Hopefully, we never use it.
Yeah.
You know, that's truly the hope, is that we never, ever have to use it, but we have to be prepared for it. And for us, is at a moment's notice, we have potential patients that we need to house, and we need to have that all in place, ready to go.
Right, right.
The number of statewide cases that we're tracking just started making a climb recently, and it's about 20 new cases a day, I think, Chief. Is that about what we're seeing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 20 new cases a day in the state of Alaska, and they're located in just a handful of communities right now. So, like Jim said, we're looking into the future, preparing. Hopefully we don't need these facilities. We have some support service groups in town that we're also securing some shelters for them in case they exceed their capacities. Anxiety is real. The longer you're involved in this and the more media that's out there, you see on the national news, it's, you can't turn on the channel without seeing COVID-19 something.
Right.
And it's kind of a silent killer, if I could use that term. And you don't know if you're going to get it or not. It's not something like, I'm going to go skiing and there's a risk to that. This is just being in the public is a risk. So once again, back to the social distancing and taking care of yourself. It's so important.
Now, I wanted to ask the chief here, the canneries, are they operating now? And what about, because we've had several questions here at KMXT, people wanting to know, what about the fishing seasons? Are they going to be able to get canneries up? Are they doing testing when they come in? Do you know how that is working?
Yeah, well, what's happening first is we are in contact with all of our facilities here on Kodiak. We've been working with all the managers. They have to submit site safety plans to us. as well as now by the governor's decree on Friday, they have to also submit those same plans to the state for approval. So all of our facilities here are working hard to ensure safety for the workers and also safety for the community. So whether they've already instituted two-week isolation periods for any potential travelers, shutting down travel so that the people that are here have been here, they're not bringing in a bunch of new people kind of thing. So each of the facilities, and that also extends off to the fishing vessels that are contracted with them, so that the same protocols will roll out to the fishing vessels. So our cannery partners absolutely are on sync with this. They are working hard to do this because, remember, they live here too. You know, we're all one community here, and everybody that we've had the opportunity to talk to in dealing with this have been absolutely receptive and open partners to help insulate the community to the best of our ability. The other side of that is we still got to look at our economic growth and our economic feasibility. Shutting businesses down is not an easy thing. And so there's a tremendous economic side of this that I don't think we're going to really figure out for years what the impact is, you know, on the country, much less here in Kodiak. So we're cognizant of that. That's why the governor also was fleshed out what are critical businesses that can stay open, that kind of thing. Clearly, we'd want to get everybody opened up as quickly as possible, but we have to be mindful of these restrictions because that's where we found through other communities where a lot of this thing was traveling back and forth between people. So any of the critical facilities are in operations, are still required to put in their site safety plans. They have to go through us and as well as the state for approval. So even the ones that said that they can stay open have to go through this process.
Now I want to clarify, and then I'll get your question, because somebody asked a question this morning, or I saw it somewhere, a note. They said, is it true that the canneries are bringing people in from out of state and out of Kodiak now?
If they are traveling somebody in, they immediately go to a 14-day quarantine.
Got it.
And that's from every one of the canneries. That's what's happening. So they're not coming in. They're mandating this because the other side of this is the Kodiak brand. They're selling fish worldwide, and so they need to take these extraordinary steps to insulate the food that they're trying to sell into the system. So they are working hard to make sure that they meet that, and they've been absolutely on board with this and working hard to do it.
Right. And then somebody else asked about hunters. Is it bear season? Spring bear season, maybe? Somebody said that they saw hunters come in and then went to the store. They weren't social distancing. They were people from off the island. And, you know, sometimes you can tell somebody's from off the island because, I don't know in this case, but they have brand new clothes on. That's kind of the local joke, right? But they just, you can kind of tell. So anyway, so this person said that they were not social distancing. They were, you know, too close to people in the grocery store. And so how do you get somebody from the airport? They should go straight in to wherever, or maybe they were flying out. They figured it didn't matter. I'm not sure. How do we deal with these kinds of things?
Well, again, that's, you know, that happens, Maggie. And, you know, people can say, please stand back. You can also protect yourself by saying, please stand back. But the governor's mandate changed some of that outside bear hunters travel because you have to automatically quarantine. Now, will everyone comply with that? That's the hope.
If you flew out, you would be quarantined out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes. But you'd have to go directly from the airport
out
to a quarantine site is what they're...
I see what you're saying. Yeah. So they would have to sit somewhere for 2 weeks before they could fly out to the site.
Or they would... Well, I'm not sure of all those details, but according to the travel forms that the state has put out, you have to... When you fly, you have to say the location where you will be isolated or quarantined for 14 days. So those are available out at the post, at the airport.
And you were going to, oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, you were going to say something and I interrupted
you.
I'll
go back to that. But the EOC put those travel forms at the airport as well. The airport is owned by Alaska Airlines, the actual building. The state of Alaska owns the airstrip and the property there. So we've got two agencies out there that that we're working with through the EOC. The our logistics team put a deposit box out for the travel forms so we could collect those. We're giving those forms to our public health agency locally so they know who's been traveling. Those forms are also available online and can be submitted online now, I understand. We also put a reader board out at the airport with a message from the state of Alaska with permission by the Department of Transportation for the airport, and the Coast Guard provided that sign. It says you have to self-quarantine for 14 days after travel. So those are messages out there beyond signs that we've put up out there. So we're trying to get the message out everywhere we can about the governor's mandates.
Okay, before you go back to where you were going.
Yeah.
Do we have a lot of people? Are we getting a lot of forms filled out? A lot of people?
It's very, very minimum now because the governor's mandate, I think, pretty much told everybody that it's travel is really not for you because...
Who wants to go somewhere and sit for 2 weeks?
Who wants to go somewhere and sit, especially come to a beautiful island like Kodiak and have to be quarantined in a hotel or some residence.
Okay, back to what you were saying.
Yeah, so as the chief was saying, this is very difficult times for all businesses, including those who are not essential and are required to shut down. So I hope everyone that is involved in this or subjected to this is aware of the Small Business Administration loans that are available. And there's details on that, but that could be of life-saving support, basically, for a lot of local businesses.
Right. And Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan were talking last week, and one of the packages, I don't know who qualifies or how you qualify, but if you paid for it and could prove that you were paying mortgages and certain things, then they would waive it after a while, which I thought, hey, that's a good deal because who's going to be able to afford to pay back many loans if there's no business going on?
Right. There's good uses for that money, the loan money, and it's for small business up to 500 people, and there's another category of 500 employees, and there's another category beyond that for larger corporations. But yeah, if you can pay your employee wages, your mortgage, your utility bills, your health care for your employees, after 8 weeks, it could be the loan could be forgiven. It could turn into a grant.
Yeah, that's nice. I thought to myself, gosh, that is nice. Okay, so I let us run over because this is important, but I know you guys have places to go and things to do. So why don't we start with you, and Mike, and tell, is there anything you want to make sure people know?
Well, on Thursday at noon, we'll be giving another live broadcast. That'll be available on Facebook, and I think KMXD and KVOK will cover the voiceover portion of that. That'll be the third one. And, you know, I just want to thank the school district and the healthcare providers and all the businesses that are supporting this effort. Our EOC is working very diligent, and we've got our PIO that's answering lots of questions. And then some of us have our day job that we're trying to keep up on as well. I know Jim and I have been going 7 days a week on this, and we're doing it for our community. So I appreciate everything else that people are doing out there, supporting our efforts. And, you know, if you have questions or feel like there's something that you could provide that's supportive or an idea, please contact us at the PIO number. I'll read that number again, 486-8970. And you can ask a question or provide a solution to some of this.
Right. And before we go, the other number that we have here is if you need community support team to help you go get groceries or medicines or something, you can call this number, or if you want to volunteer, and already we have 88 volunteers, so it's a popular event. 486-7656. 486-7656. I imagine they'll get a little busier as people start like eating through their foods and stuff, because at this point, I think most people have stocked up. Chief, Fire Chief, any more you would like to say before we
There are out? So many partners in this response that it would be hard to list them all off, but people are stepping up. We're Kodiak, and I say we are Kodiak, and that's the most important message across the board, is this is a community response. This covers all jurisdictions. It covers all the boundaries. We're working very hard to try to anticipate and meet the needs that are out there. And your help here with KMXT, KVOK, the Daily Mirror, this, you know, our local press and radio stations, getting this information out. You've been absolutely outstanding in getting and good information flow out. The still comes back to what's going to make the difference is the individual. We can do so much at the governmental level. You guys can do so much at the informational flow. Our partners with the support team can do so much with helping our citizens. But this really comes down to individuals maintaining their distances, washing their hands, not touching their face. And it's, again, it sounds so innocuous, but that's what's going to make the difference. That's how we stop this thing.
Yes, Mike?
And so yesterday morning, I met with the Emergency Services Council. And as we remember, the Emergency Service Council declared a hunker down order by proclamation that is in effect until tomorrow, April 1st at 10 p.m. Since the governor has extended that mandate for hunkering down until April 12th, I believe, we're going to follow that direction by the governor. And so Kodiak is still under that hunker down, and it will be reevaluated on April 12th. So it could be extended, but all the information we're hearing out in the medical community is that this could be more than a couple weeks for us. So have patience, and we'll get through this together.
Would you, Mike, explain what does it mean to hunker down? Some people, when that first came out, thought, we're on lockdown. That's a difference.
No, it's just limit your travel. Being at home is still the safest place for you, because it can be spread by contact. Hunker down does not prohibit you from going on a hike or taking a walk or washing your car or raking your yard. Activities around your house are good, but the hunker down is just meant to stop the interaction amongst the population that we normally do. You know, that's why they close some certain businesses. It's just to stay separated as much as possible, and we can combat this virus.
Sounds good. We've been speaking with Mike Twenge, who's the city manager, and also Fire Chief Jim Mulliken. That was very nice of you both to come in. And whenever we can do anything for you here at KMXT, you let us know, because that's what we are here for. And we appreciate the dialogue, the communication, letting people know. And I'm going to give this phone number again. 486-8970 is Public Information Office number 8970. If you think something's a rumor, don't spread it. Find out if it's true. I mean, if you don't know who the original source is, and if it didn't come from the Emergency Operations Center, please don't spread it. We need to keep the facts going and making people aware of what they need to know so they can spend their time getting ready for whatever it is they, as individuals and family members, need to do. So thank you both for being with us. You've been listening to KMXT's Talk of the Rock. I'm Maggie Wall.